Siobhan Redford is the economist, an economist at Rand Merchant Bank. And I wanted to ask her that question. A very good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Well and cold, thanks.
It is cold, but oh, I didn't even tell our listeners, I don't know if it's still going on out there, but when I drove into studio this morning, it was obviously dark, I come in before sunrise, but the moon was incredible, and I don't know if you had the opportunity to see it, it's probably gone now. Tonight, have a look at the moon. Absolutely astounding. And somehow in the Gauteng cold, crisp mornings and nights when it's clear, we really do get a phenomenal sighting of the moon. So go ahead and do that. But that is something at least a little bit stable, even though I guess the moon sighting isn't. Talk to us about the consumer price inflation. What does it actually mean? How is it measured? And what impact is it going to have?
Sure. So the Consumer Price Inflation Index is measured from basically surveys which are conducted by Stats SA, which looks at the expenditure of households. It looks at people across all different income levels and all geographic regions as well, and comes up with a total view of how prices are changing around the country. So, I mean, this is something that, you know, you're always going to look at a number and say, but that's not my number, when it comes to the CPI. But that's because, you know, you're not everywhere and you're not every income group all at one time. But that said, what it does do is tell us how prices are moving and, you know, where they're moving, specifically for consumers. And as you have mentioned, one of the things that we've seen a really big increase in recently has been the price of, say, canola oil, which pushed your inflation for fats and oils up by 20% year on year in May. And tomatoes is actually an interesting one, as we've, you know, because this is looking at May, so basically almost, you know, when we were at the end of June, almost 2 months ago, we had a shortage of tomatoes as a result of weather-related issues. And so, you know, that also pushed the prices of tomatoes up.
I was wondering why we're even speaking about tomatoes. I mean, everybody likes a good tomato, but why is it that relevant? But now I understand.
Yeah, so they had an unusual spike, and the thing when it comes to food prices that we have to remember is that the prices are driven very much by supply side factors. What's happening with the harvest? What's happening with the supply? Also, what's happening with the global supply? Because a lot of our food prices are priced, you know, in US dollars. Our maize, even though we produce it here, our farmers sell it at a global market related price.
Right. What does all this tell us?
Well, it tells us that, you know, we are seeing inflation increase. Mm-hmm. Prices are rising, and right now, particularly food prices, are a bit faster than even the 6% upper band of the inflation target. The other item to really be aware of is your fuel price inflation, which increased by over 37% in May. But what we've got to remember, that's not because of a massive increase necessarily in the price of petrol this year, although we have seen, you know, we have seen increases, but rather that in April last mm-hmm. year, we saw the price of oil fall to below $20 a barrel. And so the price of fuel last year suddenly tanked. And so when we're comparing year on year, it makes that gap look really, really big. It's not necessarily because of big movements. And so, you know, we are hearing around the world that there's much higher inflation, that it's rising, and a lot of fears that it's going to be out of control. But a lot of the factors contributing to this higher inflation right now are deemed by policymakers to be transitory and supply side, which policymakers can't do much about. And changing interest rates doesn't change the supply factors for something. And so, you know, you are going to see, you know, policymakers keeping an eye on what's happening, but not necessarily responding, especially because they do think it's going to be temporary.
And how do you define temporary? Is it, will we see it coming down in July, or is temporary September, October? What is the normal cycle?
I'm not even sure that we can even ask what a normal cycle is at this point, because unfortunately what we're experiencing right now is so incredibly abnormal. I mean, we theoretically, although given the numbers that have been recently published, theoretically are through the thick of COVID-19, but this has really changed of what our normal is. We do expect, though, that inflation is going to start trending lower, because that fuel inflation, that year-on-year number, is going to start compressing as the oil market started normalizing last year. So it's then started increasing, which makes this gap, this year-on-year gap that I speak about, narrower. We also have a very good harvest coming into South Africa, and that means that, you know, even though we are paying international prices, we, with a stronger rand and a good harvest, we are contributing to a good supply globally, which does mean that we do expect prices for your breads and cereals to probably start, you know, not the prices to fall, but the inflation to fall. And that will also then mean that your input costs for items such as meat is likely to fall as well, which could see a moderation in meat price inflation.
How much impact does this have? I spent a day yesterday with a charity organization, and we were looking at food scarcity and food concerns for the poor in South Africa. And I was horrified by the numbers. I was horrified by the amount of South Africans who are going hungry every single day. Is it so bad that this is completely irrelevant, these factors? Or with every basis point increase on the consumer price index, does it become more and more of a problem?
Well, when it comes to especially your kind of, I suppose, your poorer households, and you know, I think when you talk about your charity organizations, where their main focal point is something like food, which is a very volatile part of the CPI, but B, you know, also, and by being volatile means it can go very, very high and can go very, very low. Excuse me, it does make it quite difficult thing to plan, which makes it difficult to give a consistent consistent provisions to those who are most in need. And it's that, you know, the thing is, something like food is a necessity. So as the prices of that gets higher for people with a very constrained income, their ability to spend on other stuff, they have to start cutting down. So it is. You know, obviously, food price inflation is important, and when you look at our lower, you know, at the lower income kind of band, the weight of food in their kind of inflation basket is much higher than it is in your kind of higher income households. So, you know, that it matters a lot.
So it does. It really does matter, and so unfortunately, it is a serious situation, and one that is not going to help South Africans at the moment, especially given our unemployment figures.
Indeed, our consumer side is particularly weak, and as you say, with unemployment rising, it's been particularly weak. Food prices are a concern. The thing is that the food prices are a concern for people, whether you're getting a grant or whether you're just at the, you know, bottom end of the earning scale. And then we do, as you've mentioned, talk about other issues such as food security. And, you know, the food security is about, two things for me. It's, you know, people, whether they're able to get sufficient, food on a daily basis. As you say, people missing meals, not eating enough, but also about producing enough, locally, and ensuring that it's, you know, distributed to those who are in need. We are a country where right now we are fortunate enough to, where we should be able to pretty much feed ourselves. And we do, you know, we have good agriculture, we have good weather, we have quite a broad variety, you know, broad kind of agricultural production. But there needs to be, you know, some kind of incentive for farmers who take on a lot of risk in production of food to you know, see that we continue to have a stable supply of foodstuffs.